This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Ben and Ben Talablu, Senior Fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, to help me through puzzles about Islamic Republic of Iran and its provocations, its predations. Ben, a very good evening to you. A remark by the Secretary of State, Mr. Blinken. We are committed to diplomacy with Iran, but this process cannot go on indefinitely. Okay. What we have here is an administration that is looking to offer a friendly hand, or at least not a clenched fist. At the same time, in polite language, the Secretary of State, a senior national security figure, if there ever was one, is making it very clear that the dragging out is not acceptable. Is this a turn in the road, or have we seen this kind of restlessness before? Good evening to you, Benham.
Very good evening to you, John. Always a pleasure to be back with you. Initially, when I heard reports about this sort of stuff, about these hiccups between the U.S. and Iran indirectly in Vienna, my initial instinct was that this is political, that the Biden administration is laying the groundwork for some sort of JCPOA reentry or some sort of arms control freeze. But the more both sides go on, I think there really is credence to the fact that the Iranians are emboldened. They believe they have survived maximum pressure, and they believe they can always get a sweeter deal from President Biden. And they are tempted domestically, politically, ideologically, strategically to continue to escalate. So they don't want to settle. And one can only hope that if all of this is happening, one can only hope that the Biden administration really develops a plan B. I think just like the Obama administration, which came in with a certain set of ideas and beliefs and sentiments about where the Bush administration went wrong in the region and how just by saying something different or acting slightly different, they could initiate a major course correction. The Biden administration, too, likely believed that it could try to tempt Iran back into compliance and seal off all pathways to a nuclear weapon. I think the bitter experience from April to present, even as the U.S. has bent over backwards, ignored the transgression of red lines, ignored the crushing of protesters, ignored the highly enriched uranium on Iranian soil, ignored many things, absorbed rocket and drone attacks in Iraq and Syria. Still, the U.S. too may have a red line at some point in time. Yes. And ultimately, Blinken may be signaling that there has to be a plan B. Have they thought it through? I'm not sure they have. There has to be a plan B.
Wall Street Journal reporting in these last hours, as you know very well, Benham, the U.S. plans a sanctions campaign against Iran's evolving capabilities for precision strikes using drones and guided missiles, according to U.S. officials, amid concerns over the threat these weapons represent to America and allied interests. Is this connected to Mr. Blinken's impatience? Is this meant to be a sign to the Supreme Leader that stalling will get you new sanctions?
I hope it is, but later on down in that same exact Wall Street Journal article, I believe there's an administration official trying to divorce the potentially incoming pressure campaign on drones and precision strike capabilities with the nuclear and ballistic missile program. So unfortunately, it looks like one hand again, the administration is not talking to the other. However, the word campaign does indeed warm my heart, and one can only hope that Tehran's escalations and provocations ultimately do wake up Washington to the fact that there has been a revolution in the Islamic Republic's long-range strike capabilities, and giving more money through sanctions relief to underwrite this revolution, quality, quantity, lethality, range, accuracy, precision. All of that is happening for all these long-range strike capabilities, cruise missiles, ballistic missiles, drones, rockets, mortars, IRAMs, RPGs. The Iran owns the full spectrum of unmanned aerial threats and for strategic and ideological reasons has invested heavily in them. So one can only hope that that becomes a campaign of pressure and not a one-off. And one can only hope that the administration realizes even if it's a campaign, there needs to be things like interdiction, cyber, potential left of launch operations, and actual punishment to enshrine deterrence against Iran at this lower level.
Now for the most non-transparent of all, the Supreme Leader in these last days. Iran's Supreme Leader, this is Reuters reporting, declared Tehran would not accept Washington's stubborn, quote, demands and talks to revive a 2015 nuclear deal. And the Supreme Leader said the United States had failed to guarantee that it would never abandon the PAC again. What is your estimation of the Supreme Leader crashing in like this? Is this connected to the stalling or the dragging out?
It's very funny because the Supreme Leader is critiquing the U.S. for stalling and dragging the talks out, but at the same time, the Iranians are the ones who want the pause to give time for the incoming ultra-hardline Raisi administration, which I believe will be inaugurated late next week in early August. Khamenei here is weighing in, and I think he's emboldened. I think he sees an opportunity to continue to press the Biden administration, but he's also in some ways being rather transparent, telling everyone what he believes. He believes that Washington cannot be trusted, and in many ways he is looking to once again one-up Washington, regardless of the administration. And this ploy to get the Americans to have to commit to some kind of mechanism either in Washington or at the UN to prevent another U.S. withdrawal is really just the Supreme Leader angling to find another way to humiliate Washington, who he has believed, again, regardless of party, is, in his view, the great Satan.
There are notable protests against the regime in Tehran. Tabriz, I mentioned, Khuzestan, the region where 5 million Ahwaz Arabs are badly treated and there is a drought. Does that touch the Supreme Leader's calculation, or is that an indifference to the center?
It does touch the Supreme Leader's calculation, and those protests have spread partly to Isfahan and Tehran for several days now. In a suburb of Tehran, I just saw last night / early this morning, Tehran time. The security forces understand that Iran and the Iranian people are using every opportunity to come out and protest, whether that's environmental, economic, social, religious grievance. All of these are real on-ramps for the political grievance that the center has with, that the periphery has with the center, and that the Iranian people have with the regime in Tehran. So Khamenei must worry about it. He does have a tried and true formula of using massive force. And unfortunately, the Biden administration, after about 2 weeks, only put out a lackluster press release of two paragraphs talking about internet freedom and the right to protest. I think that you can't really divorce this from the nature of the regime. The repression at home is intrinsically tied to the aggression abroad, and that one threat really does beget another. So let's hope that press release turns into something larger, just like the hopes that we had about the talking about Iran's long-range strike capabilities could potentially turn into some sort of pressure campaign to impede and erode those capabilities. Hope is not a strategy, but we are waiting and seeing.
The administration made a remark this week, the president's remark, significant, that we were ending combat in Iraq, ending a combat commitment to Iraq. Is that connected to the Iran deal negotiations, given Iran's extreme attention to its neighbor, including making it a subordinate to Iran?
Well, it certainly, if the U.S. ends up withdrawing troops that are no longer going to be engaged in combat operations there, unless we forget large parts of the Iraqi political class that are in the parliament, that are loyal to the militias, that are loyal to Iran rather than to their own state, want the Americans out, and they're looking to use a cycle of violence against America. You know, just recently, rockets hit the green zone in Baghdad, I think several hours ago. So they're looking to use this cycle of violence. And with America getting out of the way of this cycle of violence, it enshrines that narrative in Iranian decision-makers' minds that all you need to do is cut at America and it will flee. So ultimately, while I think the Biden administration's desire to pull out is more driven by domestic demands and considerations, such as capitalizing on the endless wars narrative and undoing things that it believes were started under the Bush administration, it is missing the forest through the trees on the economy of force mission that are the U.S. true presence in the CENTCOM region.
Benham, 30 seconds. The bazaar, we know our friends in Iran are very good. So they're presuming we're going to buy the rug. They're just looking for a price. Is that a fair generalization?
Partly, but there are some bazaaris who are so hot-headed that they just want to watch us continue to offer more and more and more. And in that pain for us, there is pleasure for them.
Benham Bentaleblou, Senior Fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, watching the Islamic Republic of Iran at the bazaar. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.